Welcome to For Love Only. It's a no drama, no confusion, a no foolery zone, a place where conversations happen with real people. For Love Only is a movement where love is the key. And I am your host, Cara Bronze, and with my co-host and the CEO of Freshest FM. What's your name?
In some circles, I'm known as Libby OG. Some circles.
Libby OG. And tonight we have two brothers. I so appreciate, you know, them coming here to be on the show tonight. We've had some issues, but, you know, we won't let those distractions get in the way of what we're trying to do here in 2020.
We never do. And
we're not for negativity, okay? So, thank you. So let me introduce our guest tonight. We have Rain. He is a director and a producer of Rain Check Live Productions.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself real quick.
So Rain Check Live Productions, I feel like as a black man, I know that it's not easy all the time to get stuff or to maybe be in a certain field. When I've watched like movies like back in the days, it's really tough. You don't see as many black actors. And then when we have these movies, they're not as highlighted or as so-called good as these other movies. So for me, I just wanted to have my own destiny in my hand. So I have my own production company. I got LLC and I have everything else necessary just to be my own businessman.
And how long have Rain Check Live Productions been in existence? How long have you been doing this?
Like 2 years now. Okay. But I've done stuff longer than that, but 2 years is like official as a business and working and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. And we have his brother, and they are brothers for real. This is not like, you know,
my brother.
These are real brothers.
Yeah, we like brothers like happy, and we sing it, and we color.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we those type of brothers.
We're brothers.
Right.
And we have, this is Rupert of Brand 17C. He is a brand specialist, helping brands or existing new entrepreneurs get their brand exposed and finding out who they are, what they are, what problems that they actually fix and how they can serve us.
Right.
So, Rupert, tell us a little bit about yourself when you want to take that call.
No, it was an alarm. You said about myself or
about your business, yourself, you know.
Okay.
Break it down.
Well, yeah, from a business aspect, like you hit it right on the nose, just because I'm focusing primarily on a consulting piece as well as the collaboration. So with that, it's really discovering who the business is, their why, what they want to do, actually how they started, where they are, and where they want to go. You know what I mean? I really call myself the idea guy. You know, to sit down and really have that, you know, communicate back and forth what it is and listening as well. So I can get a glimpse of what you're trying to do and, you know, what kind of community you're trying to build. Because that's important as well. And then also how people view you as a brand. You know what I mean? Because it's not the logo. It's not necessarily the name. All of those are things to highlight you and point you back in the direction of the brand. But your brand is how the people perceive you. So really having a conversation around that and bringing whether it's old or new ideas to light and, you know, putting action behind that. I guess about the about me part, we'll get into that as the questions are asked. I'll leave that to the once we start, right?
We're good with that. So tonight we're gonna talk to them about how their love over the decades, you know, starting with the upbringing, you know, but their love at home, where did they discover love, their the highs and lows of love in their love life, and how they're using right now in 2020 their 2020 vision from their past, either mistakes and lessons learned, how they're using that 2020 vision to make love last in this new decade. So
Sounds
let's
good.
Let's talk about that.
She basically wants to get into your business.
Basically, yes. Yeah. I want to know about you two brothers, you know, and tell me about love. What's love to you, and when did you know love, or was it love when you thought it was love, and tell us a little bit, or a lot.
Age before beauty.
Yeah, that's so good. Right now, I go first though, but I think when you start realizing, when you take account,
you know what? Let me ask you. Let me sorry to cut you. We want our listeners to know how old you are, so that you that's know this.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm 33.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be 34.
Well, who are you? Because I guess for those of you listening to audio, you're.
Oh, okay. Just show your audio?
No, it's a little bulk, but again,
okay,
so I'm gonna listen different.
Well, I'm Rain, and I'm 33. I'm 33, gonna be 34 next month.
Right, and I'm Rupert, I'm 36. I'll be 37 in June.
Yeah.
So.
Love, I learned how to love from thinking I know what love was. You know, as you grow into learning more about yourself and who you are and what makes you happy and what you love or like or what you stand for. You have, like, you begin to have some, you should have boundaries at a certain point. And within those boundaries, those are things that you love and that make you happy and that's kind of unconditional. So for me, it's just family, always having a big family, just being around them and seeing how different people connect with each other throughout it, and it's all different type of love, and it's all different type of unconditional type of love. And when you want to be happy, like, you can, like, cut back on certain things, but you shouldn't keep settling when you want to be happy, right? They say there's a billion people in this world, so that means that you have, at some point, some people settle. Like, when they talk about marriage, it sounds crazy sometimes to me. Like, when I say people that are married, some people, not a lot, but, like, some people, it's like, it seemed like they got to that point. It's like, what is that point? Is it supposed to be love? Like, you know, right. There are people that are have great relationships, a lot of relationships. But then I think they emphasize the bad ones so much sometimes.
Right.
And then it's hard to find out what is love, because people are starting to act like, oh, I got to act tough to have love, when you can just be vulnerable. You know what I mean? That's what real love is. Being able to be vulnerable. And if you can't be like that with somebody, then you can't, like, there's different loves. When you had this girlfriend, I loved her for this. When you have this girlfriend, a wife, I loved her for this. Like, you know, it's like a different love for everybody. It's not a wrong love. It's not that it's not love, but it's what you had at that moment.
Right.
And
but how do you make it last?
You make it last by what makes you happy and not stopping. I'm just saying.
I don't know how I feel how you asked my brother that question. But anyway, go ahead, bro.
No, I think love is like you should be able to have your own kind of fun and love who you are and really love that person. Not like, I love you and all this, but that one thing, like, no buts. Right. You know what I mean? If it's a butt behind it, be like, but I got you a nice big gift. You know what I mean? Like, nothing else. Like, that's it. Love is really accepting that person. So I accept certain people and the behaviors that are displayed for me or them. I accept them because I know who they are. Regardless if it can be to somebody else, like, oh, that's crazy, or if, oh, that's nice, or that's cool. Everybody's relationship is different. So,
yes, I'm
going to
say, Rupert, and you want to interject?
I was listening to him just ask the question again. Let me make sure.
You want to make sure you got it right?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. I was a little.
No, you're good. I just want to make sure. What was the question again?
The question is, what is love to you?
Oh, what is love to me? One, I'm going to give a shout out to my to-be wife, Mary. Just wanted to shout out because she was on the last time I was here. But for me, 2020, again, when we talk about the 2020 and the vision stuff, it's really challenging whatever my vision was in the past and whatever created my idea of love, you know, being a product of my environment. Because just because you were raised in a house that showed you love one way, that doesn't mean that it applies across the board. It was very specific for that time. It's very specific for a single mother who was trying to raise two boys and one girl at that time. And my other brother, it was four children from my mother. The other one was incarcerated. And then again, when you don't know yourself, and then if your parents don't know you, they can actually manage you wrong in an aspect of love. And then depending on where my mother was, she could have been unconsciously reciting to me certain things I love that wasn't appropriate for me as a man, right? And then also, we may get into that a little bit later, with my father not being present, you know, that could be a big deal as well. I don't know if I mentioned it last time, just when I was going through my season when I was divorced, and I think I did one on the last podcast with you guys, that what always sticks with me and what always comes back up when I'm thinking about love or thinking about my interaction with women and just me as a man is that listening to that audio of Tony Evans, and at the end of it when he was talking about, he said sometimes men grow up to be men like their mothers, if I quoted that correctly. But many, pretty much what I'm saying is that I picked up those emotions from her.
Okay.
So I have to kind of check myself at times because...
Yeah. And detach.
Right. And so I'm still figuring that out. You know what I mean? It's not that love, you don't have one definition, but I like kind of how he was ending that. I'm also learning that, and I can't say any relationship because I'm now, I proposed to my girlfriend, so she's my fiance, but I also try to convey the message to her is that we can create this however we want to. The most important thing is to really understand each other or try to. And the other things that we don't understand, just accept. In a sense, not where we just using the word accept in a bad way, like, oh, I'm just whatever, or put up with. But understand that comes with that whole package of love. Because real quick, watching something on YouTube, what I thought was a very good way to highlight it is that even though she may annoy me in this area, that might be the price I gotta pay for everything else she covers me in. Okay, as a woman that she is. You know what I mean? That might be the price I have to pay. Like, I gotta put up with her this. Mm-hmm. I gotta put up with her that. But guess what?
But overall,
what she's giving to me is way more valuable than the little issue I may have with her, right, with dot dot dot.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm still keeping my ears open. I'm still feeling like I'm unlearning to relearn what it is, because I think when you bring certain expectations into a new relationship, you can really damage something that is probably supposed to be really beautiful, especially as far as love go, because the reality is I could have it wrong or parts of it. So trying to figure out where to put what I imagine love is or what I want, or even putting it on pause in certain moments that maybe I thought this was love, but maybe that's love. Maybe she's showing me, you know, a different way. Because everybody has something different to bring to the table. So I hope that answered your question. It's not that I'm questioning it, but I'm leaving room to grow in that area of what I thought, what I imagined, and what I want love to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of making an effort to let love be love. And even
let love be love.
Right. And even in my moment, just if I'm in a bad space, just, you know, send love out to keep that peace, because it's nothing ever, I guess, at the end of the day, that's serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love languages.
Yeah, and that's another key too, actually.
What's
real quick,
love language?
I think it varies. Yeah, you didn't know my mom's birthday story? You heard about it? No. I think the love languages vary for me, just with people. I think it's a connection, you know, because one person can do something that if you're with someone else and they do it, it's a whole different way of
what
taking.
Why do you think that is? You
know, I think it's a connection that you have.
So you accept.
It's an energy. No, yeah. I don't mean like you accept it. I just mean that certain things you
I think it flows better.
Like they'll know like not to do it, or they'll know to do it. Like
so then you would call that, obviously, love is a part of love is respect. So you might feel more respected by this girl rather than the other girl. You know what I mean? Because maybe I'm treated that way.
Not, it's just like it clicks. You want something organic. You don't want to be like, there's been times I feel like people have dated somebody because they said about what they like and that person started to be it and it wasn't really they self, and then they felt like something else.
Right.
Like, so who do you like? Or what kind of guy you like? Or what kind of girl you like? Oh, I like a girl that's this and that. And that girl starts doing that. But she does, that's not really her.
Right.
But she really likes this guy.
But sooner or later, it's gonna show.
Like, yeah, but that's,
you know,
what I'm saying. That's what
you're representing someone who you're really not. Yeah. You know, so, and then eventually it's gonna come to the surface.
So more or less, that's not love.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying.
And
so
she's a fraud.
That's why I said it's about being organic, right?
Right.
So if you don't person ask me like what kind
word.
Of girl I
so
like,
organic.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, so you.
Yeah. It's like.
my thing when using that word of organic too is that
Not like okay. I'm just joking around. I play too much. Go ahead.
You know how my brain works. It's all good. It'll come back. Go ahead.
But yeah, the love language is just definitely, I think, is the biggest thing, because you know a person and you like. That's why I feel like certain people are married, because their love languages are matching up for the most part. But there may be maybe one or two that may be a little bit more important than the other one that's not being met. Maybe.
You think people sometimes marry for the wrong reason?
That too.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. I think people marry for comfort. I think people marry for the wrong reason. I think people marry because they are in love.
You say, I got to put up with it because I'm married or whatever. And I think...
culture.
I think you got to be, you know... I think just putting things in perspective. Like, I don't... me personally, just going... once I get married to marry, this will be my second marriage. And
for real?
It'll be... The thing to me is the approach is different. Like, it is on one level business. It's not about going in and be like, oh, this person's gonna love me forever. Because when you do all of that, not even that, when you do all of that, you miss the fact that how do you feel about yourself? What is your self-esteem for you? It's so easy for us to project on the others what they should do for us, but have you taken the time for yourself to love, once you to cater to yourself, to go out, you know what I mean, things like that. Because I think we burden our significant other with a lot of shit that we want to be lazy with ourselves with and stuff. So that you're projecting too much on somebody that doesn't even have the capacity to do that. And that's selfish on you. When I think that whole marriage and love thing, it's somewhat of a community effort. But again, obviously you and your spouse have a certain space where y'all share. It's intimate. You have certain conversations. But instead of forcing what you think he or she should do, really get to know that individual and what level will he give you, and then the rest is kind of up to you. And just, I think, operate in that space. I think that helps a little bit. I just think that a lot of people aren't being their authentic self. We want to be the girlfriend, like, well, girls want to be like, you know, Gucci man's girl, because they want the ring that she has, they want the life that she has, they want the closet, they want the outfit,
they want the
she
bag.
Has, right? But it's like one you always forget. What does she have to do for that? You don't know her life. You think,
right?
You know what I mean? Outside of that, and then you don't even know. They show you what they want you to see. You don't know what heartache she had to go through. Yeah, are you going to be a woman there if he go to jail? Are you going to stick by him? What are you going to do? Like, so it's like, it's very, very vain in their efforts.
Well, that's love. If you can go through those kind of tribulations.
Yeah.
And you still stick in there, and you really care for that person. You know what I mean?
And I think, yeah, they value something in that person, and they see and they want to be it regardless. So, yeah.
Do you feel it's important to stay consistent in your relationship?
From a woman perspective, yeah. But for men, we'd be like, damn.
I get you, but I don't categorize myself when it comes to things like that, in a sense. Like, I wouldn't say from a man, like, or a woman. Like, I feel like everybody's different. I know that I am, so I wouldn't, like, say, like, if somebody told me something like this, I'd say, well, anybody can do anything. You know what I mean? Not to say, I'm saying it'd be good, bad, or indifferent.
I'm not sure.
If you can't say, like, there's people you've seen that are like, oh, he wouldn't do that, and then something comes up, like a Bill Cosby or something. Like, you know, like, something, whatever. Like, it can be extreme, it can be little, but you always can put it past the person until it happens. So I don't expect people to do things, but I do have that mentality that things can happen in that sense. Like, whatever.
Are you currently
in a relationship?
No.
Good question.
Yeah, I'm not. But I feel like for me, if I had to get into a relationship or whoever I'm talking to or dating, like, I would be truthful. I can't lie because I forget. So this is
gonna be a question. What's the deal breaker?
Oh, deal breakers? I know it's hard. You go first.
You know, I've thought about that, and I'm very weird with that. I think I'll find out when the deal is broken. Right. I don't. I'm not that person that be like, yo, just because.
There has to be something.
No, I'm, like I said, because I'm. That's what I started. But I'm weird with that. Like I said, I'm weird with that, and I just, when it comes up and it's time to go, then I think I'll know. And even for an example with my ex-wife and us trying and going back, like, there was obviously a time when I should have just been like, you know what, it's time to go.
But what?
I got it for you.
You know, I use the same excuse that a lot of people use. It was the kids.
Right.
you know, I also learned going through that, that it was codependence as well. I needed her to validate me and tell me certain things. So I kept crying out to her. I kept trying to prove to her when things came up like, oh, but I did this and you didn't do that. Or you, you know what I mean? So I think that was more the younger me. And sometimes you have to go through that to really understand who you are. You don't, sometimes you don't get who you are. Sometimes you don't, even if you have aspects of you, you understand. Sometimes you have to go through things. And they, when you look back, it's, you know, I did too much, very shameful to a degree. And it's like, you know, bro, you knew it was time to go.
Right, but you said.
Right, and you try to make up every excuse because you wanted to look good and you probably didn't want nobody to say anything to you. And the other side of that I learned too when I sit down with myself and I had to let this go is that, as my brother mentioned, our father not being there, I was bent out on not being like my father. Bent on not being in the household with my kids. Bent on making sure we, I was in a complete household. Right? So when you're looking at those things, it overshadows what you should really be doing. And I should have saved face. I should have respected myself a little bit more. Not to say it was a bad thing, but if I still ended up not with her and I dragged it out that long, then yeah, I should have.
You should have bounced early.
Yeah.
But I think it's a learning lesson.
Yeah.
Because right? You have people that are of much older age or wisdom, right? And they.
Age don't go with wisdom. I've learned that.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm about to say.
It's supposed like, to.
You also
learn certain things and learn from it and move
that's
forward.
That's what I was going with. Like, of older people. And of age, but their like mentality is very young
and stuck.
Yeah, so when you learn and you something like that, it's like at least you know that you're growing, right? That's how I look at it. Like when things happen, it's more of a lesson. It's more of a positive thing than something of like.
No, but I think we.
I wish at that age of regret because I can't say that.
But one of my favorite YouTubers, he said we are functional illiterates and things. So we use these words, we say a lot of things, sounding like we know, but the application is nowhere to be found. So we'll say, oh, this is a lesson learned. Oh, God's trying to show me something. But then don't bring nothing to the table to say, what did God show you? So we just keep reciting those very, the euphemistic of them, right?
But that's
the
vanity of it.
I'm just taking that and I'm putting my point onto it. I'm guilty of that as well, whether I've done it in the past or I might even do it in the future. But just being reminded that, you know, check myself sometimes because stop just saying it because it sounds good. Stop just saying it because we're talking around, you know, the water cooler in the office and it just, we're saying it very passive in passing. But be honest with that. So, you know, people have a conversation around the water cooler. You know, people just have a conversation and stuff. If I use the right term, whatever.
Okay.
Just gonna call me out, younger brothers. And stuff.
I was lost. I was trying to catch
up. Don't put me out on the line. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Come back. So we live right now.
So, Rain, what were you trying to say over there now about
this? I'm going to say about my birthday. Now,
your birthday is
I was kind of going with what he was saying and just aspect of like just accountability. Like I think that's my biggest thing. I always come back to me for that. Like because if you kind of give that respect or that accountability, like for to other people, you just it's just a different relationship. Like just with a person, you know, because then you can talk to them. Then you don't feel like you don't feel ashamed because you know you can say, well, I did that. I'm sorry, or you know, because some people don't want to say sorry.
Right.
And that's they're taking accountability. So it changed the relationship because now I thought I could tell you something or be all the way there with you, but now I can only give you 88%, not the 100. You know, and then that messes up that relationship because now you're not fully yourself. And then people start like, well, I did this, and I did that, and
right.
I did this.
Right.
And that's my thing right there. That's the deal breaker.
Yeah.
That's
what
I was coming to with a deal breaker like because you now you're counting. So that's my deal breaker. Because you make me feel like you're lying to me because like if I did something wrong, you didn't tell me.
If you're gonna be in a marriage, you can't be that way.
You can't, but people are.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying, there's real life. There are people like that. But
yeah, those individuals got some kind of issue, or whoever that is in that relationship.
It's a lot of tits for tattoo.
There's no room for that. There's no room for that.
But even so the people factor by Van Moody, I mentioned that, I think, again. It's, I always kind of mention that book when I'm talking anything around relationships. Right. One of the things he said, that what I needed at the bottom of the hill isn't the same I need at the top, because it's the journey in between. Mm-hmm. But even speaking from that aspect, like, sometimes we don't know when to let go. We think years equate to love. In reality, it doesn't. You know what I mean? It is the value. It is the consistency you talked about that really speaks to someone. And I think, if anything, we need to know when to let go, but we also need to know when to fight. And I think that's the issue. Those things, those two things right there. Women, I think it's said, even if you look on some stats, and don't quote me with this, but I think it's women, when they lack in love, that becomes an issue in a relationship. And men is when it's respect. So those are the two things that usually allow the divorce to kind of sneak in, outside of other things. Cause I think if you don't know your spouse as well and you're taking her for granted, other things like that can kind of play a part. So it's not necessarily one, it could be a combination of
those things. I think probably the biggest is infidelity.
Mm-hmm. If you look at Esther Perel online, infidelity can actually be a good thing for certain relationships. Now, I'm not saying go out and do it.
Really?
No, listen.
Well, break this down.
No, I'm just, I threw her name out there so that you can.
What's her name?
What's her name again?
Esther Perel.
Oh, man. How long has she been there?
So she's a.
Siri. Esther.
How long has she been?
No. It's just very interesting. I first seen her thing on TED Talk and how she spoke about it. She's not, her thing isn't like saying go out there and do and have, you know, relationship infidelity, but she's saying statistically, when you look at it, what does come out of it, especially it forces the couples to address their issues as well. Because other than that, you sit on the couch next to each other.
That was the reason I asked the question, what's the deal breaker? As a man.
Cheating too, yeah, definitely cheating.
Uh-huh.
Cheating, definitely. Even if I do something, I would feel like, you know what?
Nah.
And it's not that I would break it up, but I feel like, even though I'm not, and I'm not a cheater, but if I was to do something, you can't get over it, right? Even if you're in a relationship, right? And I say something crazy, and it's not even like I did anything, I just say something crazy, like, you really not gonna get over that.
Depends on the
right?
Person.
And if you do it, and if that person, I'm saying, at a young age, when you're in your 20s, you want to argue, or you're going to argue, right? But, like, as you get older, you now you have a debate, it's not an argument, because once it reaches a certain point, then it's done. Mm-hmm. A debate is finished. You know, an argument, like, it keep going, right? So, with that, it's just, it was just a different mindset. You know what I mean? So, that it's just hard to say, like, where you at in that time.
But I know, for us men, it's very, that's a very tough pill to swallow.
No, it is.
It
is.
You said no, it ain't?
Yes, no, it I said is. It is, but oh, I'm having a butt on it, right? For me. And I'm talking to me personally, like, being honest with myself, especially the reason why I divorced, I had my number six child was while I was married. Like, I have to really consider, like,
you had.
Yeah, I had a child while I was married. Okay. Like, my number
so
six.
You stepped out.
Yeah, and that's why I was married.
Okay.
Right, so I have to sit there and really think myself, like, yo, even in a new relationship, not saying, and Mary, when you listen, this is not saying you get a hall pass. this is saying that I got to really sit down, like, who the hell are you to get on somebody when you clearly did something that there wasn't the main thing that got, because we had issues prior to that. Nobody's going to say that, right? But you've been doing that. And if you be honest with yourself, you cheated on a few women that you've dealt with, or you've had something on the side. Like, so how can you sit up here all prideful with your nose in the air and say, you know what I mean? And so I would say, for me, I would just have to say, now I'm not going to say it would not hurt me. It would not put me in the shoes of those that I've done that to, because I've also shared that with a friend at work the other day. Like, it's very hard for me and my personality to put myself in somebody's shoes. I'm literally going to have to feel it.
Right.
So,
the question is, are you going to be able to move on and move forward knowing that, you know, she was, you know, somebody else and she's, you know,
I just feel like
it's one of two things. So, my older brother, street dude, I love him as much as he wasn't there physically. The conversation we had, very, very powerful, brother. One thing he said is that you can't stop somebody from cheating if they want to.
You can't.
So that stuck with me, right? So that's a little foundation I carry with me. So the idea is, I think I'll just have to work through it. And the other side is, if we do know women that if they do pass that thing, if they continue on, like, it's a wrap for me. So then I have to make that choice. Am I going to stay in there and play guilty, guilty, or just end it?
No. I'm talking about strictly, like, you just got done in. You know what I'm saying? You were wronged. You know what I'm saying? Blindsided. Boom, boom, boom. Left hook. Jab. Ugh. Oh, shit. You know what I mean?
I ain't going to feel like that regardless. You know what I'm saying? I'm not denying the feelings behind it. I'm just telling you my thought process. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying I'm going to be up there in that
relationship.
I can't say right now.
Nope. You're better man than me. Better man than me.
I just...
Yeah, that's how
I'm saying. No, I'm not. I'm not saying a yes or no.
You'd be able to move
forward. I'm not saying a yes or no.
I couldn't move forward. I'm sorry.
I think sometimes those are premature answers for some. I can't speak for you as a man. You know yourself. You've lived with yourself longer than anybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, sometimes for some of us, it's premature because we say things when we're not there. Right. But when we actually go through it, and then everything we have around it, the kids, the house, the this, the that... You know what I mean? Like, then there's another kind of conversation you have with yourself, your wife, as well as what do I do moving forward?
That's an option, but that's not. But I'm saying that's not my options.
No. But this is my thing. For somebody that haven't been married, somebody that's not even dating right now and don't have a lot of stock in somebody, that's so easy for you to say, bro. Like, when your mindset changed and you position yourself with a woman and you really think of a woman different than how you think it now, that's a whole nother ball game. So you can say that, but yeah. that don't mean, like, I'm telling you, like, when you feel a certain way about a woman that catches your attention, that's a whole nother.
It's time for another woman.
Well, no, it's fine. And I'm not saying you make your choice. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
It goes either way.
Yeah. And that's why I say it didn't, but I'm just saying, you know.
No, like I said, because I'm a little different.
What?
Yeah.
Because I feel like for cheating, And like lying and all that. Like, if you can't trust somebody, why would you be with them? It doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to be happy. Like, it's supposed to be positive. Happy. It's supposed to be more.
That's a
when
lie.
People are, when people are trying to be successful, right? Their biggest thing about being successful, it doesn't matter if it's money. It doesn't matter if it's accomplishment or whatever it is. It's always happiness that's in that. That's what's going to make you happy by accomplishing it. Yes, it is.
I think this
it's a happiness, it's a feeling.
No, it's not for individuals, you know what I'm saying? But I know to be tougher as a man.
Why do you think it's tougher as a man? So you think that we accept cheating? It's like, all right.
No, you see, you women are built differently. You know,
that is
built,
for sure.
Y'all are built differently. So, you know,
you will find situations. She didn't do that.
Yeah, that's a man. You find women, okay, you know what, the brother stepped out or whatever, and they work it out, they go through the whatever, okay, you know what, I understand, I mean, they go through that, and they understand, and find a way to continue the relationship, and in some cases, it grows, some situations it grows.
Yeah,
I gotta say something about that, bro, because I want you to finish.
No, I'm speaking in terms of, you know.
No, I feel like, let me tell you something, the reason why I say... We, like she said, women are built different. They are, but women are very emotional. And when you hurt them, it's a different hurt. And I feel like it can be as strong or stronger than a man's. I don't. It just depends on the person, their mentality, and how they move. But I don't think you can say a man hurts worse. I think it goes both ways because
I don't think we deal with it the same way.
I don't definitely think you guys don't.
No, we don't deal with it the same way. But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, for a woman, it would be worse. I feel like a woman would be worse because they'd be hurt for a minute. They like they act different. They the way they even talk to anybody. It could be the kid, the family, this, that, whoever. They said different when that love is like that's a piece of them. Like a guy's a piece of them too. But you're gonna get over it like soon. The guy.
I'm
not saying like you get done with it right away, but a girl is so emotional. Like guys is like at least you. The way I see it, a guy is gonna be hurt, but I feel like a woman is still gonna be like more affected in the sense of and like the way they treat people. Way like the guy's gonna be treated a different like way too. But I just feel like a woman is You can lose them forever. I feel like a guy.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what I see with us men, right? Men will hurt more women because they got hurt.
But right. Women do that too, though.
Yeah,
it's different way.
That's what
women,
I'm saying.
Women
it's
are
the
like
same.
That now.
No,
today.
But there are, you know, if you look at overall the plight of men, you'll find men, you know, that were hurt early on. A large majority of
because
them
I think that they didn't give them some, they didn't give themselves
time to heal.
Heal.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so they just go out there and let me meet someone else, and now they're the villain. You know, hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Instead of healing your hurt.
Well, I think that's another thing. I don't think we typically know how, because there's also a message out there that we can't cry, we can't show certain things.
Exactly.
So for some of us, there's probably a new age of guys that are operating slightly different. But if they're picking up on that old message, they have an analog approach to relationships.
You have to have a lot of conversation nowadays with people, because people, and a lot of stuff that's just going on, people just shoot people.
Well, I think we need people to ask better questions too during that. You know what I mean? Like, we're assuming, like, we can meet somebody in the club, they look how we want them to look, they look what's more fashionable this time of life, but we don't look at their character and the longevity of, right?
Right.
So we think because they look like our favorite female personality on TV,
right.
I got it. But when you actually live with her day to day and see how nasty she is, or she don't pick up, she don't cook, not saying that that's really what, because I think that's more that stereotype, right? I think you have to create it, because the male might be the dude that really the cooker, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
But then she can probably do something else. She's good with fighting.
That's what you can't assume.
A lot of that has to do with how you were raised as well. You know what I'm saying? So if you come from a household where, you know, your mother was a certain type of individual, and so you kind of go out there looking for somebody who has those characteristics or those kind, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Or the other side of it is, I feel too, in some single households, if the woman is hurt because of the lack of love from the father, whether he's locked up, not there, or present, and she's constantly thinking about that and not getting that, that energy is put on the son. Mm-hmm. So then the son picks that up, and then how he views women from there on out, especially when mom shows disapproval of him being a kid, he thinks every other woman, like, he doesn't like women because of the image he saw from his mother sometimes too. So then the way you look at women, the way you respond, and then sometimes you're so sensitive to where how women respond to what you do, you're very sensitive to, like, them yelling at you. Or maybe they just are aggressive. They're not yelling or disapproved. They're just like, yo, just slow down. But you've been so brainwashed with mom, so stressed out, trying to put food on the table, clothes on your back, stressed with your dad. All you know is, like, fuck. And then she's a black woman. Damn, now all black women hate me. So that's sometimes...
So
I
how
think
do you
men,
break
like,
away from that mentality? Because now you're an adult. You're an adult man in the world, dating, you know, you have friends, you hear their dating stories and stuff like that. Like,
I think it's,
do you find a mentor, not a dating mentor, but, you know, like, do
I
you
think
find
it's the people that you be around, right? Like you probably wanted to do something like this, right? This show for a while. And you've been around, so and then he does something similar. So it's like you put yourself around it, and then it becomes like a family in a sense where you're doing this, and it's natural, right? It's something you want to do, not something you need to do.
Right.
Right? Something, the things you need to do, you do throughout the day, but this is like, I want to do this.
Yeah,
this
I enjoy
is what
it.
Makes me happy, right? Yeah. So that's kind of like really it, though, for in my sense of like talking about it, like, in general. Excuse me.
I understand, you know, the point you're just making about, you know, about, I guess, a single parent, you know what I mean? I grew up differently, you know, say I had both my mom and dad, you know, family or whatever. And so with that, there, you know, there's two sides, you know what I'm saying? And so I kind of got it.
It can be bad both ways.
From
both
sides.
Parents.
I think it is.
And good. With single parents, depending on what type of parents you got.
Yeah.
No, I had good parents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I had good parents. My parents, you know, yeah, I mean, they had their own
the household.
You know what I mean? They had their own thing or whatever, you know. But in terms of what I took from it, what I was able to see, it was never, you know, a thing where it's like, okay, you know, this thing about women or, you know, not having, you know, or having... It be about, well, you know, your father was this, he was that, you know, and so you kind of take from that when you go out into the, you know, into the world. So it gave me a better sense of what relationships are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, of course, they could have disagreements, but whatever, they still came together and did what they needed to do. You know what I mean? So I think it made me, you know, a more rounded individual in regards to, you know, my relationship, my marriage and whatever, you know.
So how do you feel about, like, with kids and stuff, like, being like that in a sense? Like, when should they be available or be around certain things?
Such as?
Such as, like, just like, you know, when your parents is doing, like, you know, some kids, they deal with old parents screaming and stuff, and it could change them in a bad way. Some is different. Like, you know, you can take it in a brighter or better way. But just understanding that, like, and just even, like, we're raising kids, you know?
Well, I think like anything else, I mean, you know, there's rules. There are rules to, you know, raising children, or rules to your, you know, your relationship, you know, how you conduct it around your kids. You know what I mean? Right. The type of arguments you have. Stuff
some
you
parents,
say.
Some parents don't,
you know,
play
what I mean?
Fair.
And stuff that, that's, yeah, what I'm saying. You know, like, yeah, you know, you can scorn your, you know.
Right. And I think most, a lot of parents, depending, I don't think they know their kids, what their kids can and cannot take. So yeah, they parent from where they want their kids to be rather than who the kids are. Sometimes, so I'm in a season as well where I have to slow down with that. You know, my oldest is 16, youngest is 8 right now. And a lot of times, being a young parent, you go through emotions, you live through what the older people are saying around you. But it might be good advice, but it just doesn't fit in my household.
Mm-hmm.
But you trying to be a good person and take the advice and then package it for him, it wasn't right. So now I'm at, even with that range and age, I have to slow down and say, okay, now I got to really dig into who they are, especially where they're at right now. Because this is the first time I have a child in high school. So I was, and I told her, when her freshman year, I was fathering her like she was still in elementary school, and I had to check myself.
Mm.
So, you know, it's, everybody's going through their thing, you know, whether it's your kids or whether it's you. And it's just, I think, being mindful and just reminding that child that you're
still
there. Do you
follow the rules?
Hmm?
Do you follow the rules?
What you mean? You asking me, or do I ask?
No, I'm asking you. Do you follow those? You know, like I said, there are rules. I mean, and when you argue, when you do those things, you know, what do you do in front of your kids?
Well, I think the one thing this is what I assume. I don't know. I don't think I've asked the kids. Is that being a young parent and dealing with their mother at that time and insecure, and like I said, being codependent at the time, they've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if I was following the rules back then.
Sounds like it got ugly sometimes.
Of course. I don't know if I followed those. And I guess I'll say more so principles, because I think that's important. And the same thing, rules, I'm just using a different word.
Mm-hmm.
That really raised them. And again, they're good kids, but I'm just saying, like, what they saw between mom and dad and how we the lack of respect at times. And stuff, and then even
well, see, that's the stuff they take from. You know what I mean? I think as a kid, you always take, you know, more from watching it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. So, and again, you sometimes, and that's why early on we were talking about, it's assumed that you have a certain age that wisdom comes with it.
It does.
It's lacking because mom and dad may have lacked and never corrected their wrongdoing to you as a child. And addressed it, if nothing else. So had counseling for you as a child, not try to counsel you through while you're dramatically and emotionally charged up, and you're trying to help somebody when you still ain't even all the way there.
Do you think therapy, like taking therapy, can help you love to love?
Absolutely.
Of course, because I think it
does. I think that a lot of times in the minorities, we don't think we need, we don't,
sure.
We don't think that therapy is necessary. And
hello, he's like an old man, like for real. I'm sorry about that.
What's that water?
Yeah,
this is real talk, real conversations, real people, really going to the, you know, live bathroom breaks. But I think minorities don't want to get help. They think there's a weakness to it, and
I don't think it's that.
What do you think?
I honestly just think and when I say it in a really positive way. It's because we all are. It's their level of ignorance.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? And when you don't know something, you're not going to do it. It's just like investing, right? Mm-hmm. That's them saying that they don't want to invest in certain things because they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when you do anything, right? Like, even like right now, this is something you want to do, but you still invest in your time. Even if it's quote-unquote not money. Money is time, though. Because when you go work and you make money, you have to put time over in money. You got to, like, charge it. What is it on profit, right? So, dealing with that, like, it's just about people in their ignorance because they're at a certain level. So, if I keep having this conversation with somebody, and you're like, yo, I did, me and Tony, that's my brother, but we had this argument. So, this is the first day. I see you 2 days later. Yo, me and Tony had another argument. Tell you another day, like, come back. Yo, me and Tony, like, you going to say, in your mind, you're going to be like, why do y'all argue all the time? Mm-hmm. Is it you or is it him? Like, you're going to have that kind of thought. And that's just, like, how I think about it. Like, you have to really just think about stuff before you put your time into it. Because if you know that person's going to act like that, then may cut it short, leave it alone, keep it cordial, whatever it is, because it's not going to make you happy. It's just going to add on to the negative, right? And I go back. This is another last thing I want to talk about was the vision you were saying. I learned something a couple years ago about vision boards. Vision boards are dope, but accomplishment boards are even better because people do things and you just move so much, you don't realize what you do until you sit back. But if you have it visually and it's two boards, it's one here next to each other, and I said I wanted to do this, I did it, boom, put it here.
Right.
Said
I wanted to do this.
Now by the next year you see what you did or didn't do. Or even if you almost got there, like you just know, like, okay, it's a difference than just doing a vision board. Because that's just like saying 2020, my motto is I'm doing the such and such. But that's everybody say something and they don't finish it or they do.
Right.
But it's just about you taking accountability.
I think it's also accountability and staying consistent.
Yeah, consistent.
Doing the work.
But I think that's actually dope in a sense when we bring it back to the relationships that a lot of people call us out on our bullshit more than they actually tell us what we did good, aka accomplishments. I think if we practice more of that, that would kind of make somebody feel like, dang, she really does. Even though we had our thing a few days ago, you know what? She does always remind me in the middle of the day that she loves me, she's proud of me, or he's proud of me, he loves me, whatever way, you know, it's coming from. I think if we practice that rule, that principle, that would cover those little holes in a relationship where it might cause doubt for the male or female.
Yeah.
But see, some of that is what's learned. You know, you're talking about affirmation. I think that's learned. You know, if you came from
behaviors.
Yeah, if you came from a place or a home or whatever.
Words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So how do you know it?
Yeah.
How do you learn it?
You know.
And I think that in a relationship, I think you have to be open to accepting, you know, like I know someone who the female, like the mother was on drugs and things of that nature. The father, you know, was around, not around. So then you come into a family where there is a mother and father, you know, like you meet the guy.
It's a different feeling.
You know, but you have to be willing to, you know, embrace that. That's not how you were raised. You were raised in a broken home. But now you meet someone who had mom and dad. And so how do you accept that? You know what I mean? I think you have to be willing to accept. And sometimes being that person didn't have that upbringing, they bring strife into the relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because and they don't know that they, to me, are miserable in a sense.
Right.
They just believe that what they say and how they feel is right because they're so used to debating with people of kind of close to them, but a little bit less than them, and they're right. You know, when you write a lot with people that don't really know too much, you feel like you write when it's wrong. You know, so that's kind of the problem. And then understanding that every relationship is different. So if me and you have this relationship, it doesn't have to be like the next person, or even how you thought it should be specifically. You know what I mean? Like it has to be what it is, not what you imagine. But you have to accept it for then because that's part of the process. It's part of the journey, you know, growing. You have to see the things that we do, like the more you're like, oh, you are doing better. Oh, it's a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you don't see it on both sides, then it's
I think you have to want to accept you go into a family and you're like, oh, this is not how I was raised. You should embrace it.
Yeah.
You should, because it's something that you don't know about, but you're bringing negativity to it. It just, that... it can't work that way.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just expectation.
Yeah, that too. That too is
that's the killer. Yeah. It's not that you shouldn't have standards and expect certain things, but I think just putting them in their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Keep asking somebody to do something that one they've never done. Just fall in line. Not fall in line, but I mean, like, really call it what it is. You know, if he does something. But back to even the love languages, that's important for each individual to know, because sometimes, whether we want to or not, and that's not how we speak, because we're in this commitment, we need to get uncomfortable sometimes. Shit, it ain't comfortable for me all the time to love Mary how I need to, but I gotta remind myself too, like, this is what she like.
Conscious
this is what
she effort.
Like. Yeah. And stuff, because one thing that is, it is kind of weird to me, but different. Let me say that. Every day I'm sure I can get a call from Mary saying, "Babe, do you want anything?" And sometimes I do this face, like, you know, y'all can't see it if it's on audio, but I give them the people's eyebrow, because I'm like, I'm not used to it, so sometimes I don't know how to respond.
Right.
So it's like I have to prepare for it. I know it's coming. Do I need something? You know, I'm talking to myself. And then sometimes she just buys the things that I want. All she does is pay attention to what I eat and just puts it back. You know what I mean? And it's not always the healthiest, but she'll put it back. But I got to consider, like, damn, you know what I mean? And so she's also where I came from with my ex-wife, that she has to fight through a lot to get me grounded and actually bring me to a level, because at times I'll be scared, or I'm so sensitive to how my ex-wife treated me that I put Mary through some shit sometimes. And
so
I'm not saying nothing
saying that
crazy, but just the emotional...
Heal?
I'm healing, right? Because the difference in the way Mary is loving me, and again, super patient with me in certain aspects that still a little foggy with the healing part, right? That it's that wow factor. I'm like, damn, she put up with me after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then she's very reassuring at times that, and she'll say it, she's straight. And again, Leo's being Leo, she's straight. You know, no chaser. She like, I don't know what that woman did to you in that other relationship, but I'm here, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever the context that we talking in. Reassuring, because sometimes my reaction is just, it's natural to that. It's not to say that I don't want that, but sometimes it's learned behavior.
Yeah.
No matter where it came from, it's a learned behavior.
Unlearn.
So I think
the negatives,
the best thing that Mary is doing and how she does it, right? Because if it was coming from somebody else, I probably would react just as the energy's given, but she's very graceful, even when she's checking me. You know what I mean? So the way she does it, it helps me to really break out of that old me and certain habits and the sensitivities of maybe how she's speaking to me at times, or maybe there's a disagreement and I feel the feelings that I ain't even supposed to be for her from another relationship I'm giving to her. And it's just, I'm reminding myself in those moments. Like I said, it's just a graceful way she does it.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So,
but then again, your relationship is still young. So,
is it?
It is, but the
it is
it's young, but
it is. It makes a big difference when you have like a lot of years in a relationship.
But
you know
what I mean? But my,
because you learn certain things, and that person learns certain things, and you grow,
right?
Or you're supposed to. You know, if it's the right relationship.
But back to her question earlier, just like to kind of combine it to what you're talking on, she mentioned, she asked like what type of people or whatever you should have around you. Now, I think because of certain older gentlemen that I met out in Maryland that I speak to, they helped me even comfortable with even to, and reassured me in certain conversation that it made sense to marry this woman, right? Nobody, and if you know me a little bit, nobody's going to force me to do anything, right? Because even if it's 1,000% right, the way you say it to me, I might just want to go against it just because.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
that could be your downfall.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a negative trait.
And so I'm you know, if I'm not a gambling man, but I'll gamble on that. So that's my favorite ego to ride, and I'll do that. You know what I mean? I don't mind doing that, and I'm okay. It's not, but what I'm getting at is that timing is everything, and what's for you is for you. And Mary, I truly believe she's for me just the way things lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, meeting these individuals, that not having my father and these older gentlemen and having certain conversations and them privy to certain things,
when they said certain things, I believed it and I followed in that. And they've been my anchor. You know what I mean? They've been my reminder. And then still having to have that conversation, throw things at their way, they know stuff, and also them being just wise and real wisdom. I trust in that relationship with them to keep me moving forward. So that's important for me as well. You know what I mean? Because I might have missed out on her value in my life. Just being stuck in my ways and not having somebody else. Because sometimes we just tend to go back and forth just because.
Well, you know, you had a prior marriage, so you have something to base upon. Okay, you know, where did I go wrong? Or where did it go wrong? And so it gives you a little bit more of an edge where you're going. It should. Mm-hmm. Not always the case. You could remain the same person, and you know what I mean, or you know, and not see the errors of your ways or any of those things. You know what I mean? So,
we have a few minutes left. Rain, do you, everything that you've seen and from growing up to the present time, are you making anything? Making a change now in 2020 in this new decade and moving forward? Is there something that you're healing from or working towards in love?
I'm working, for me in life, I just want to be a serial entrepreneur.
Serial entrepreneur. I like that. Serial.
I want to, like,
in love, you want to be a serial entrepreneur?
No. I mean, but most business wise, in serious, no. I want to have different revenues. I want to be known for just helping our community in a good way, like, and just connecting people that need to be connected. Like, I really feel like I mean it with my whole heart, like, that we have black people are, like, really great. Like, I mean, when I see black relationships, even if I don't know the whole story inside out, I love it, because it's that sticking together. It's that, like, we lived through a lot. Like, we think about it, right? If you think about what they used to feed us, like the pig feeds and all those other stuff, those are like scraps. Mm-hmm. But we still use that to survive, and we still was doing, like, really big things, as in, like, electricity, as in, like, writing books and poems and all this stuff, and, like, really motivating people. You know how much stuff, like, the quote-unquote other man has stolen, right, from the black man? And it's just amazing that we still are able to do so much, to me. You know what I mean? In my time, I'm not old, but, like, I know some history. And just to be able to live through certain things is dope, because you're kind of part of history. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, for me, I just want to be part of history. I just want to travel with my kids, like I've done it, like I'm doing. And I want to just travel the world. I want to do over 100-something different countries, just because it's, like, it's about, like, really enjoying life. Doing stuff like this on the go, you would love that if you could. So why not make it happen? And that's just where I'm at, just building my production company. Tyler Perry.
So
okay. Watch out, Tyler.
That's my big homie. As his older brother, giving the shorter version, right. once he finds himself through traveling and stuff and learn to love himself, he'll be open to a real relationship with a woman. You don't have to accept that, but I'm the older brother.
Okay, so you speaking...
No, not really.
Yeah, he's
So you said for moving forward.
Yes.
What?
But everything that you learned over the previous decades and your love and growing up, things that you saw, what are you doing different in 2020, this decade?
I guess moving forward, not just for 2020, I kind of want to, like I said, unlearn and relearn with... Maybe if I had to illustrate it, if it makes sense to kind of close my eyes and feel my way through love. This thing with Mary is definitely fresh. It's different. And just, I think mentally I'm in a different space. And definitely want another child.
How many do you want?
You want 107? Like,
no, you know our father has 19 plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
16 baby mothers.
Keep it kind of brief. I just want to make sure, you know, the audience gets, you know, the ability to reach y'all.
Okay. I can leave it there, because if anything, social media is all about engagement. Definitely, if y'all have any questions, y'all can filter it through the Freshest FM or For Love Only, right?
and just at me at brand underscore 17 or at Rain Check Live with a specific question for us, but keep it under, you know, this podcast stuff so we can keep the engagement going. So I can leave it there, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. Well, for me, it's Rain Check Live. That's what my page that I'm doing a different branding going towards. Drippy. It's one of my characters that I do. Like I said, I want to start doing my own production company, and I want to do movies. So that's what I'm working towards. I've done documentaries. I've done 15-minute specials. I've done, like, other things. So that's it. Rain Check Live is the character. Rain Check Live underscore productions is my business page where you see all the events that I go to.
And tell us a little bit more about your community event that you were speaking of.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So we're having a health fair February 29th from 12 to 4.
Where?
It's going to be in Harlem on 135th and 5th. That's 2230 5th Avenue. It's John B. Rushworm. It's going to be inside the gym. That's going to be one of the health fairs. And we're also going to do another health fair in March. But this one we're doing in February is definitely big, and I think it's dope because of the diabetes aspect and just still running the program that this lady has for her daughter and the memories.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. That concludes our show. We would love to have them back again because I just feel like we didn't touch on everything that we needed to touch on. But that's For Love Only tonight with Rupert and Rain. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
And it's good tequila and vodka.